The practice of Tai Chi is often called a moving meditation, a fluid dance gracefully combining ancient philosophical concepts with the intrinsic potential of our bodies. The precepts of Tai Chi have become a passion and a purpose for Michelle Greenwell. She is a Tai Chi instructor, body movement specialist, dancer, and the author of My Little Black Book of Chi. Michelle teaches a variety of Tai Chi forms and has adapted many traditional Yang movements to suit the wellness needs of her students. She uses Tai Chi movements to help us deal with daily challenges, such as stress and anxiety, as well as physical concerns like knee, hip, and joint stiffness, and as a healing for students as they convalesce from surgery. Michelle explains how traditional poses can be altered for anyone, in any state of health or physicality, to improve our quality of life and stimulate vitality.
What I've done is taken the seated form and then translated that for saber and low cup as well. So the people that I have that come that have to be seated, they have options no matter what style or piece of Tai Chi we're doing. There's always a seated version. And that doesn't exist anywhere else. So my students have been very lucky that I've been able to translate it. And that's because I'm a body specialist. So I have the ability to quickly transform movements into different ways when I know what I need them for.
Okay, that also gives a broader reach of people who can access this form of movement too, if they don't have to be able to physically stand up, if they don't have to be vertical. You know, for older people or people who just don't have that option.
Yeah.
So you said 108 movements?
Yes. Master Moy Lin Xin is the style that I followed. Master Moy came to Canada in the 70s. He took the Yang form and he felt that the North American body was too stiff to be able to do the full Yang form. So he adapted it with several principles, including the way that you turn the hips and line them up and the vertical slant that the body makes. Some of the other forms are more upright in the Yang, but his is on more of a slant. And that initial change in structure allows for the tightness in our sitting bodies, because basically we spend so much time doing that. It allows for the structure to start to be changed. And then as you progress through Master Moy's work and get into low cup and saber, then you start to move your form into a much broader movement form. So it's not trying to square everything, line everything up. And that's when it starts to look more like some of the other Yang forms that are also present.
So you get that greater fluidity, because when you're watching them, it's like they're working in water.
Yeah, the fluidity, yeah. Well, a beginner usually isn't taught with much fluidity, but I'm a dancer. So my students all have fluidity. For me, if it doesn't flow, it's not right. And so if you do a movement and stop, then you stop the flow of energy. So you need that flow to keep the continuity going. And if you're doing 108 moves, that's 18 minutes of constant flow that can happen. That's key for making a structural change, which be in the muscles, but it also is key for the tendons, the fascia, and the ligaments, because they need that time in order to make a change.
That's very interesting. I've done Tai Chi before, but I've done 22 movements or the 20, you know, or just the one where you're breathing for 7 minutes with your hands going up and down, which personally I think is very therapeutic.
Commencement is a wonderful move. And that particular one, I have a couple of people who get restless leg syndrome and they wake up in the night. And if they get out of bed and do that particular move, the supercharge that's running through that nerve disappears and they just go back to bed and back to sleep.
Wow, that is very interesting.
Yeah.
And just that simple move does it.
And that simple move, that's why I love Tai Chi, because it's not complex. It appears complex when you look at somebody in the garden doing Tai Chi and you think, I'll never be able to do that. But if you just break it down into simple movements, some of the most simple movements can be very powerful in many aspects of our lives.
What inspired you to take up Tai Chi? You mentioned a little bit before you kind of had to step up your game because there was a geographical, you know, lack of fulfillment for the particular subject. But
yeah.
What sort of led you towards it to become an enthusiast or practitioner?
Yeah, so I was running a dance studio and I had over 300 students. I had three performing companies, a high competitive studio, and I was so stressed that all the stress pocketed into the muscles in my feet and shut my feet off. And so the pain was excruciating to try to walk across the floor. So now I'm trying to teach dance, and then the tension was just so bad in my body, I just couldn't walk. I found two things at that time. One was Touch for Health, and that started me on the road to releasing the emotions that had blocked in my feet. And the second was I was renting space to the Tai Chi group, and the instructor had continually asked me, you know, are you going to come join? And I would know I was always too busy, too much stuff going on, not enough time. And when I couldn't walk anymore, then he said, so do you have time now? So he's like, yeah, okay, fine, I will. It wasn't an easy process because I had a lot to work out and my body was so tight. So doing a lot of the moves didn't feel really great, but I always felt better after going to class. Our classes also, we had class on Saturday mornings. That was my one day off. The last thing I wanted to do was get up at 9 a.m. and go back into my studio and do class. But that was one thing. I jumped out of bed on Saturdays. I was like, I've got Tai Chi today. That's how I got started. And then, you know, I got to the place where if I had orthotics in my shoes, they were in every dance shoe. And my feet still would knot up and I would have pain come through them. And eventually the Tai Chi, my feet were so strong, I could throw out all of my orthotics. And my Birkenstock shoes, which were the only things I could walk in, those had to go because my feet had recovered. It was beautiful. And then my inquisitive mind took over, which is, how does this work? Well, I've devoted probably the last 15 years to understanding the Chinese medicine behind why it works and how the meridians work. And that's my passion now, is sharing that knowledge with Tai Chi.
Oh, that's quite beautiful. I was going to ask you what sort of evolution within yourself you've witnessed as the result of your experience with Tai Chi.
What I would say is a lot of people go in and think of it as an exercise class. And that's how I started. You know, yes, 2 days a week, that's all the time I have. But then you start to feel the benefits. And then you realize twice a week isn't going to cut it. So maybe you do 15 minutes first thing in the morning. So then I started adding pieces before I was teaching. Then when you went to a workshop and you spent all weekend at a workshop, your body changed so dramatically that you realize the more time you spend in it, the more benefits you have. So it shows up in the way I walk. It shows up how I stand. So if I'm in a room full of people, I make sure I'm equally on both feet. I have my back open. I'm fully present and aware how I sit in the car. It shows up everywhere. And if I notice something's tight, then I can just run a set, find some space, and away I go. The softness of Tai Chi and the fact that you actually give the heart a rest, you open up the circulatory system, you give the circulatory system a rest, and then as soon as you start deep breathing, then that deep breath just opens everything up. And that for me is more valuable than the thought of, I need to go to the gym so I can work my body harder. This is the time when I can be gentle to my body and I can gift it back.
Because this is actually more of a replenishing activity.
Exactly. And the other thing, and I do remind my students of this, is the action of Tai Chi, the extension of the body to the end of the head, base of the tailbone, or from the foot to the hands. You have this expansion that happens and this contraction. And the contraction in Lord Duntian comes in and pulls it in and then expands it. And that creates a building of energy. And every other form is an expansion of energy. I mean, unless you're going on a nice replenishing walk and you take a slow walk and you're noticing the flowers and the sun, and, you know, that's a little bit different. But you're still not doing expansion and contraction. And that's right. The key of Tai Chi. If I'm fully charged, so to speak, with that, it doesn't matter who has a cold, who comes towards me. It doesn't matter if somebody's had some sadness or whatever. I have the energy to be able to pull their frequency up to mine. And as long as I hold that, I'm good. If I let that drop, then I notice it because I get pulled down into their resonance instead of bringing them up to mine.
And what have you witnessed in others as in through their experience with Tai Chi?
Oh my gosh. I've taught students from all walks. So I've, you know, some that have fused backs that are seated. I've taught people who have had surgery and we've used Tai Chi in the bed after surgery. People that are stiff, sore knees, lots of people with knee problems, hip problems, needing knee or hip replacements, and then we can switch that around, no longer required. People getting rid of orthotics. I had one lady with anxiety. She was on anxiety pills and had a pacemaker put in. And when she was walking so compacted, it was compressing on her heart. And that was causing the anxiety and the need for the pacemaker. And then after she started Tai Chi and everything opened up, she realized she had stopped taking her medication and hadn't really noticed it. And then she realized she might not have needed that pacemaker. It was just the fact that her whole body had just compacted so much. The shifts have been just wide and broad, and it's beautiful.
That's lovely. It's very inspiring. Some of the stories you've mentioned seem actually quite miraculous in mm-hmm. their own way. You mentioned the one who was after the surgery doing Tai Chi. You don't normally think of people who don't have complete mobility as even being able to, as we mentioned before. So if this person is in the bed, what sort of movements are they doing?
Yeah. So we have in the seated form, we have foot movements that we do. And you can easily do those lying down. She had a hysterectomy, so moving the middle torso was not going to happen. So we started with hands turning, and hands turning, everything is reciprocal. So even though you're turning your arm, this can also represent your spine, your neck, your head, but this can also represent your lower leg, your ankle, and your foot. We can move things around to get the spine going so that all of the nerve endings could go out to all of the muscles. And all the organs, we got that inspired. And then she could move her feet, which started to give some mobility through the lower part of the body. And then that just allowed everything to flow. I also had surgery, so the two of us both used it. After my surgery, I was to have 6 weeks of nothing. And hers was the same. I was 4 hours after surgery doing Tai Chi in bed. And then I did Tai Chi seated with no turning or anything, not move anything that didn't need to be moved, but I could move it all by doing other things. Within 2 weeks, I was back in the Tai Chi room, limited movement, seated, but I could at least get the flow of energy happening, and my recovery was quite quick. The energy building prospect of that also. And so my student followed that same protocol and she had the same results.
That's very impressive. So it's almost like the concept of reflexology, where you apply pressure to the points, like in your hand, and you can do your entire body from your hand or from your face,
yep.
Twisting with the arms to stimulate the corresponding areas of the body as well.
It's all structure, right? So you're just talking about this one little component. You've got all those energy lines passing through there. You've got all the tissue, you've got the spiral action. As soon as you engage it, the whole body knows what it's up to.
Okay, so this is probably a fairly obvious question, but I'll ask you. Would you consider Tai Chi to be a therapeutic practice?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. To me, if you do movement, the body just knows exactly what to do for itself.
Right, so it's biological inclination to be healing and to be in motion like that.
Exactly. We were designed to move. And if you move the shoulder seam and the hip seam, that links everything back up to the brain and it has the complete program is all there. For me, Tai Chi is the only exercise form I found where you are completely involved because of the way it's put together. When I learned Tai Chi, the 108, we learned the names of the moves, white stork spreads wings, grass bird's tail, but they were just names. So you could remember the move. And I was gifted Gerda Getty's autobiography. She had studied for a whole year, the intention behind all of the words. And that's when I went, because with my other work, intention is key. You have to know where you're going. And so when you pull the intentions for Tai Chi, what is the intention behind the 108 moves? And that builds everything up, lines everything. So all the energy lines are going where they're supposed to. And then when you take the moves from low cup, in low cup, the first move is stop the cart and ask for directions. And that means, do you wish to live or die? Now, that's a pretty big phrase to have at the start of a movement session.
Yeah.
When you go, do I wish to live or die? Well, of course I choose to live. Okay, well, you do, but, you know, are you honoring that? But by honoring and doing the set, you're saying, yes, I am. I honor it. And here's all the ways. And then as you go through the moves, you're analyzing, hold the horse at the cliff is checking in with the emotions that keep causing you to derail. At one point, angry horse turns his head. So that's taking all your emotions, like frustration, anger, whatever, and you throw it out there and you let them go. The very end of the set is morning doves float over the treetops. And then red dragon stirs the waters. And you're bringing all the elements together. And so you've gone through this whole emotional change while you've been doing your movements. And you get to the end and you link up all the elements and the meridians. And then you finish with taking the chi to the mountain. I've forgotten the exact name. That one is all the flow of chi happens. Everything's open. And that's how you finish the set. It's beautiful. And so when you pull all those intentions together, the set just completely transforms with why you're standing there.
That is incredible. The catharsis, but also the philosophy.
And that's something that maybe when they created it, you know, hundreds of years back, that was just all wisdom that was there. And then it came through to North America and translated into English. So, but when you go back to the original writings and the original purpose, it's all sitting there. It's a complete package. And that transforms my room. So when I'm teaching, my students are used to my jargon. And I'll say, because sometimes I'll be right into the intentions that day and, you know, set your goal. What is it you want? You know, stop that cart. You know, what is your choice right at the moment? And some of them will roll their eyes and go, oh, here we go. But the transformation that happens, because I've seen some of these people for 7 years, their transformation is, they're not getting older as they're, because I have lots of seniors, they're not getting older. They actually have more energy. They have great balance. They're living really vital lives. They're so active in their communities. It's very, very interesting to watch them.
I was going to ask you what your daily Tai Chi regime is. I hadn't realized you were 24/7 with it when I wrote my questions.
That's okay. I was in Sydney at the caregivers day, and one of the ladies there does the 108 Master Moy's work. And she came over and she said, so how many hours are in your day? And I said, 48.
Yeah.
You looked at me and she goes, yeah, I think so. But she got it because she's, you know, you could see the vibrancy in her over some of the other caregivers because she stood very strong and very connected. Yeah. Whereas you can see a lot of other ones, they were just so happy to have that day off from whomever they're taking care of. They don't have that same vibrancy. And it was interesting. If there's no movement involved in my day, I will find a way to put movement in. And it might be a couple simple exercises. I might pull 3 moves from Tai Chi. And it might be you need to do move hands like clouds 6 times and you need to do white stork spreads wings 3. I just do that little aspect. And as intention has been brought in, that morphs it even more. Since finding how the intentions work within it and understanding the mechanics, I don't think I would ever walk away. It would just be silly.
The practice of Tai Chi is very much a personal dance of intention, potentially an exercise in fulfillment on many levels. To maintain high energy, Michelle mentions the importance of diet in the mind-body relationship. Consisting of leafy greens, nuts, fermented foods and drinks, such as kombucha, and plenty of water. The restorative benefits of movement and the fuel to sustain them. Contemplative movements of intention, such as Tai Chi, could be thought of as tools to balance the energies of nature, drawing up from the earth as we channel down the heavens. You're listening to Nature Therapy and Beyond with Catherine Skynot. Appreciation to my guest, Michelle Greenwell of Dance Debut Studio, for instrumentals provided by Blue Dot Sessions, www.sessions.blue, and to you. Thank you for listening.